Lieutenant Ray Reichel is the executive officer of the Sitka-based cutter Maple. As these things go, picking up the buoy was a breeze, if that.
When we were able to get up on scene, seas were less than 1 foot. We didn't have any registered winds at the time, and we were able to safely get up alongside of it and bring it aboard without damaging any of the sensors.
The Cape Edgecombe buoy is 6 meters long, or around 18 feet. It's really more like a small boat than a traditional navigational can or none. And like Reichel says, it's fairly bristling with equipment. The Maple brought the buoy back to Sitka. Resetting it where it broke off was impossible at the time. Reichel says it requires about a mile and a half of specialized mooring gear and a 6-ton concrete anchor.
It had about 7,000 feet of line. It was made up of multiple segments, and it was broken on the third segment. So we recovered just about half of the line, and it had just parted somewhere in the middle of that section. So we're not sure if it had gotten fouled up on something or if it had just gotten, it was a weak spot in the line itself, but it wasn't at one of the connection points, and it wasn't at the sinker itself. So the sinker itself is still there with part of the mooring, so we'll need to bring out a whole new mooring system and reset that one. But I believe it'll probably be around a 12,000-pound sinker that they'll use for that one again.
The failed mooring dates from 2008, when the buoy broke loose in a fierce winter storm and began a 400-mile odyssey across the Gulf, first swinging north into Yakutat Bay and then heading west to Cape St. Elias, where it eventually beached near Kayak Island. The National Data Buoy Center recovered 84, as it's called in officialdom, refurbished it, and put it back into the rotation with the three other weather buoys stationed offshore between Dixon Entrance and Cape Suckling. 84 has continued to be the NDBC's problem child. It's been replaced twice since it got away in 2008. Once in 2011, and then again just this past June, after its predecessor had spent nearly a year failing. Just as the Cape Edgecombe buoy is too expensive and sophisticated an instrument to let it go wandering, it's also too important to mariners and weather forecasters to let it sit on the dock for long. Lieutenant Reichel says the NDBC is shipping up a new mooring and equipment to allow the Maple to attempt to reset the 84 buoy, and to repair another buoy, 85, or the Central Gulf buoy, this October. Conditions offshore in October are typically a lot different than in August. If they get an opening, Reichel thinks the crew of the Maple can do the job.
Weather conditions are typically best at 6 foot or less to be able to safely get that over, because, again, we don't want to damage any of the sensors in the process of setting up the moorings. So it'll be one that will definitely be having a lot less safe weather windows to do it, but there'll still be some available in that time frame of the year.
In the meantime, the Cape Edgecombe buoy continues to perform perfectly. Reichel says its battery of instruments is functioning, relaying weather and sea height from its very solid perch on the Coast Guard pier. The National Data Buoy Center has stopped updating the buoy's public website, however, to prevent someone from mistaking conditions on dry land in a sheltered harbor for autumn 45 miles offshore in the Gulf of Alaska. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.